Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, August the 12th, 2014. This is our 240 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Well, Hawaii didn't get nailed by those two hurricanes, which was really great.
Well, actually, part of the Big Island did. It still had pretty close to hurricane force wind, so whether it dropped out to the zone between hurricane force and tropical storm, it still hit an area. Some of the area is pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it disassembled it, you know, like I felt it would have done. And it usually, you know, Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa, those two big volcanoes way up there, you know, 9,000 to 13,000 feet high. It's got a lot of influence on the pressure system, like a hurricane, kind of like I thought it would be. Disassembled a little bit earlier, but it was pretty well put together, but you could see it falling apart. Then it went south, like I thought it would, and it did. So,
yeah, I took a look at the infrared image, and it showed you guys were getting lots of rain and wind, but the eye of the hurricane was gone when it was over the island.
Yeah, I went up to the top of Haleakalā yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. To survey the high altitude effects of the 10,000 feet. So it had picked up the cinders. The wind had been blowing upslope, picked up the cinders, and they blew in at well over 100 miles an hour and took the paint off the building. Like
sand. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it had some effect.
Wow. Took the paint off the building.
Yeah, because the cinders are, you know, pretty abrasive stuff.
Well,
but like you, when you're on the beach, mm-hmm. and you get that wind that comes in, it stings you because the sand's mm-hmm. blowing on you. Well, can you imagine it's not little grains of sand, but rocks flying, beating down on everything.
Yeah, well, when I had a video camera way back then, I remember a part of my video was looking down at my feet and looking at all the beautiful different colored rocks I was standing on.
Yeah.
Stones and pebbles, they were just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean it was picking those up and banging them against the building?
Whatever is fairly light, and they're you know, pumice like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to be able to be, if you got enough wind, they'll pick up some.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was a lot bigger pieces than I thought. Yeah, it smashed up against the building pretty hard.
Yeah, I came back from the Big Island, and we're back on Oahu, and I showed my girlfriend Val the stones I got on Haleakalā. Oh my gosh, you can't do that. We got to take those back there right away. So we flew back to Maui and went up to Haleakalā. I put the stones back there.
Yeah, because they
formed
it. Yeah, they formed on inner Earth. Inner Earth sent them up to the surface. So there's all kinds of story about bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them sound pretty scary, the stories, you know, people mailing back rocks they took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have enough troubles in the world without having bad luck that way.
Yeah. Strange stories, but, you know, it really, really sad when you think about that. Inner Earth. And there's some people that think there's a whole dimensional race down there of beings that don't like us here on the top surface of the planet. And even the hollow earth theory too, you know, the whole planet is hollow. As, you know, was it Admiral Byrd that flew and said he went to the North Pole and there's a big hole in the, and then there's a whole other civilization much older than our surface civilization that's down inside and it never was explored much.
Yeah, Paul from Fayetteville, he, how you doing, Paul? I'm glad you're doing much better. You had some medical trouble for a while there, but remember he was writing in about the hollow earth
quite
a bit, and yeah, there's a lot of strange things that are known but not known to the public, because the public only gets the public education, not the real education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think of the public education as the watered down education. Doesn't tell you the truth about so many things.
Well, one of the interesting factors about the sentient beings of our planet originated here are beings that are not really the same as us. We're organic and we have fairly fragile bodies. But the what they call the midway creatures, who are actually created here out of a type of interaction between spiritual, material, or semi-spiritual, are these beings who are able to, you know, move around even in the hot boiling paths of a lava lake, you know, and move in and out of it. In fact, it was interesting how Pele's picture was taken by, you know, accident, and this is not retouched, and it showed what looked like a person in the midst of this lava. And I said, wow, it's got to be, you know, Photoshop or something. But it was claimed to have been a picture of Pele. And if the gases are right and, you know, the interaction with the material areas are right, it could give an image, you know, reflected light. Unless it had its own, you know, light or coming from it. But my experience with beings of celestial origin and having them as beings of light and luminous beings are, you know, to me, it tells me that there could very well be some creatures that are, you know, underneath the planet, but not material like we are, but perhaps semi-material. And because of that, they're kind of, these midway creatures are also locked on planet. They are domiciled here, not necessarily able to go off planet. So it makes sense that they might be what they call translocating themselves through linking with some vibratory relation between these material that come out of a volcanic material, giving them a kind of like a homing, they home in on that. And as a result, some of these people get interactions with bad luck, which are these midwayers, which are not friendly. there are the faithful ones that are many times responsible in some of these miracle services that happen, where people get miraculously healed, things changing their lives. These midwayers were faithful. They actually still retain loyalty to the first source and center. And those that possess the first source and center's fractal, the divine divinity fractal, which is the thought adjuster, The others who felt awake hate that, and they want to do everything to disjoin an individual from their divinity. Because they have every human being who has the divinity fractal and who aligns themselves more and more in this life to that, attaining a greater harmony and resonance with this, will gain a real destiny that is far above any of those who have fallen. And those who have fallen many times are not destroyed, but are, you might say, on a prison planet, their own planet. And as a result, sometimes that story, you know, of bad luck from cinders or rocks or pebbles taken from the tops of the volcanoes in Hawaii and have caused severe bad luck because of the what we used to call in faith circles, in terms of Christian circles, faith circles is a point of contact. That point of contact is really a point of reference. It's almost like your ability to home in individuals. Innocently, they can get into problems with these unknowns. These midwares are also responsible for poltergeist activity, many times activated through the use of a Ouija board or communication, or method of communication. And as a result, they get involved. So people would call them spirits or something like that, but they actually have the ability to move around, associate with material objects. So that's what they call midwares. So you can people can look that up if they haven't already with reference in the Urantia book.
Oh yeah?
Right, yeah, you can find their classification of actual being, sentient being, actually have purpose and intelligence and thought. But their mind that have fallen, the primary, what they call the first group, the primary midwares, most of them, in fact, all of them followed Lucifer into rebellion. So they're like the devil's children. But there was a secondary group who came forth that much of them were preserved under faith and actually are serving very well in terms of helping individuals overcome. Many times, you know, things like the preservation of people, you know, preserving. You look at this hurricane, you see one house just completely flattened because of something, and then another house right next to it is okay. It's like, what happened here? Why is one house? Oh, it must have been how it was structurally built. But a lot of times there's been protected, you know. And this can be seen right now. And you go to Big Island and of Hawaii, you can actually see samples or examples of protection that has taken place.
Protection from these midwares?
By
the midwares.
Yeah, or by other celestial involved. Well, usually the smaller things can be associated with some of the midwares. You know, a tree that just misses a house by an inch. And you see, wow, people are asleep at night. And the tree fell down. And another one right next, it's the house that hits the dead square in the middle of the house. You know, mm-hmm. What made it just, you know, there are pictures of actual boulders that rolled down a hill. Amazing, huge boulder. I mean, just probably 10 feet in diameter. Rolled down the side of a hill, comes within inches of a church and stops. It's amazing. It's almost like, we'll show you that we are involved with your lives by this why didn't it roll just a little bit more crunch, or why didn't it stop way out there, another, you know, 20 feet, 30, 100 feet away? Mm-hmm. Why did it just stop inches from the wall? I think it was only about 2 inches.
Was that recently? I saw a big boulder go down, but I think it went through a farmhouse and a barn.
No, this one, because of the movement on the planet, there's some of these strange movements that boulders start rolling down hills, and it's not caused by an earthquake or something. People kind of wonder, how did it happen? But anyway, that was a while back. But there's other activity going on right now on our planet.
Well, with you being around beings of light, you can pick these out a little bit better than everyone else who hasn't had that opportunity.
Well, yeah, but also there are others that are very insidious, especially the fallen midwives. They're entirely insidious. They just are like, you know, the snake in the grass concept. They just like to mess up your life.
Well, before we started recording, I was saying how that craft that landed on the moon, haven't really heard from anyone to comment about that. Then you were saying, oh, that's because it's just so far away and people don't really care about it. But there it is in photographs. And that Eric Norton, the photographs he was able to see, that it was, he could see the composite material, and he could see how hard the material was with the instruments that he was using. And then we get the watered down version of the blurred image, but there it is on the moon. Has Sharon mentioned that to you? Is what they're doing with that craft, or why it's there?
Well, they did say something about practice missions. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's actually, you know, dry runs actually they're doing, but they do occasionally, you know, interact with people. But it's very rare for them to allow the person to remember much of the experience. A lot of times they don't want to erase the memory to the point of the person, in affecting their normal life. So that's why sometimes that people do remember the scary parts, you know. But anything beyond that, where you can find out many things, it could really affect their lives in a negative manner. That's erased. But mm-hmm. For me, I was allowed to be awakened to the whole story because of what I requested, I believe, as a sense, essentially found the real secret of the universe, of us who are sentient human beings, which is probably the most important secret of all, which is what is our purpose, what is the purpose of life, and how where our destiny is to really become beyond the material and have the capability of moving throughout the universe, yet interacting. Like some of these midwives are very, very well understanding the fact of their position. But we have such a high destiny, you know, in comparison to them, which are basically nowhere. They don't have an ascendant destiny. They stay what they are. We, however, have an ascending destiny, a destiny that actually goes right past them into the destiny in which he says, as I asked the question to the Verandadek Most High Observer, the Verandadek, you know, basically said, it is your purpose is to become as I. And he was able to transform himself from a being of light to a very, very relatable image of a person, and who I could interact with and feel and perhaps even touched. I don't remember that. You know, I remember looking at myself in comparison to him and realizing that I was not the same substance. I still was just very material and mortal. But yet to become as he, this is the real secret of all. Because within that translation lies all the secret of what you're talking about at one time in terms of the secret of material, what holds the real material together. The real material that really matters is all of it, not just the physical material that holds itself together and is able to be transformed or actually decoupled and fall apart. I mean, we know that much of the material that we try to create through various types of enrichment have found themselves only existing for a very short time, and then they fall apart. And then much of our, you know, material is substance to degradation through various types of stresses that amount to maybe corrosive energies or stuff, or recombinations or falling apart, entropy, you might say, entropy in one form or another that causes decay or rust or corrosion or whatever in terms of things falling apart. But to have something that approaches it was in terms of the material are the gems and the gold, which are, you know, pretty much very stable, and they're used oftentimes in the ancients. Use them, in fact, the priests, many of the others, use them as symbols of our destiny being incorruptible. So gems were viewed as incorruptible, and gold was always viewed as an incorruptible metal. It didn't corrode or rust or stay in itself quite beautiful. Of course, that's only one of its characteristics. But when it comes down to knowing the full secret of all of the universe, these incorruptible things points toward an even higher, more wonderful realm of the incorruptible. Yet that incorruptible being able to be interacting with this very kind of a tough place, actually an unstable place of our reality matrix. In fact, so much so that some people are even trying to experiment with, you know, the Hutchinson effect was one of the ones in which showed a destabilization of the material reality, where you have a plastic spoon embedded in a piece of steel. Now, that does not happen by thermotic melting, you know, decoupling, due to you know, just having the atoms become moving faster and becomes liquid, and changing from solid to liquid. No, that's not it at all. How did that plastic spoon get into that piece of steel? Well, it's a whole nother story, isn't it? But it's related to this, our destiny, our higher destiny. And it all becomes a part of this, that locked-in secret that's embedded in each human being. Each human being who participates and relates to this secret of the universe within ourselves. It was called by Peter the Apostle, this is the mystery of godliness or God, hidden from the ages, is made apparent in us, made clear in us, which is that it is already embedded in us, that special fragment, that Christ was a word used for a type of crowning achievement or a divinity attainment, or another word would describe the Christ in us as a touch of the everlasting already embedded in us, and that being the actual hope of divinity attainment, or the hope of glorification, hope of glory. That is the real secret of the universe. And within that, it contains all the little bits, the bits and pieces that are will be fed to us through divine inspiration. In other words, some people will receive through divine inspiration much of this, and sometimes tinkering and experimenting brings about greater understanding to the physical realm. Now we're using physical, the physical realm, very skillfully in terms of creating so much of what we have today. Playing around with my smartphone, I remember the progressive stages of how we developed the technologies, even the ideas behind the technology, which were not able to be implemented until the actual working physical technologies were capable of manipulating our thought into reality. And our thought was how we would get this digital information to be processed at the sophistication and speed necessary to make such a program work, or a paradigm change, that shift between simply associating in an analog way to a digital reality. This whole digital reality required a lot of computing speed in terms of switching on and off. I have relation from, coming from, very simple solid-state devices at a very early age, being exposed to the crystal radio, and then seeing actually working between transistors and tubes, sitting on that stage, and actually having some time working with very primitive things like a cord board and a telephone, looking at analog physical switch versus moving to strobe switches in a phone system, then moving on into highly sophisticated computer decision-making switching, which is basically taking a lot of old thought and placing it in a small package. So sometimes you look at all of this and you say, wow, we reverse engineered a lot of this out of, some spacecraft that fell from space. But actually, much of it, if not almost all of it, was given to us through the divinity that's already in us, that aligns inspiration and creative thought to bring about that reality even in our engineering and technology. So, but there's other factors that are continually, being brought forward in terms of trying to bring out the beauty and actual symmetry of divinity in terms of our expression in terms of art in life. And that's why we must live. I feel so sad because Robin Williams, I think he had some problem with the old suicide pill, that antidepressant, because, he was, they basically said he committed suicide. But, he was such a wizard and smart guy, able to do so much. And he was able to contact much of his inspiration through his relation to that divinity fragment. But what happens when some drugs are taken is that relationship almost dissolves. And the story is that a person does not feel themselves because they almost like lose a friend. When the story of Christ, when he tried to come as a human, when he actually came as a human being, but tried to express that relationship that he was going to bring the individual, was one in which he would never leave us nor forsake us. How? He was just reminding us of that relationship, and he would try to bring that relationship to the human race in a way that would allow them to understand and to know that the relationship to the mysterious voice within yourself that one that they speak to you in ways that are words, and other times feelings and emotion, and other times in different ways in inspiration and creativity. That is something unbreakable, but that could be thwarted, or I worked against, and sometimes drugs have a lot to do with disassociating my individual from that. And as a result, people don't want to live anymore. And I was near that point. That's the reason I say I was near that point, was at the point in which I expressed myself to the universe, basically went out in the backyard and said, make yourself real. Bring the God, bring reality of yourself. Let me know, by yourself or by some representative. Well, little did I know that much of this inspiration that I received from the divine ones and from those celestial sources, as well as seeing it embedded in society, in religion, in philosophy, science, in many aspects, were all part of the arrangement of the universe to willed creatures, free-willed creatures, to be able to associate close with divinity as a friend that would stick much closer than a brother. This is a scriptural description, one, of the relationship that takes place. And this secret of the universe is like how atoms are held together. You might say, how is that? It's vibratory. And the thing about that is this associative vibration that we talk about in linking the atoms together, or the vibration between all is another soul that is, on the same vibration as us. You know, you can feel it, or someone that is on another vibration. Well, that is true, but what we bear in our lives is to get that mixed with that our divinity fragment, our friend that is already implanted in every one of us, that builds this holographic universe of governance, of actual everlasting righteousness that goes on and on and on, and never and does not decay or decompose, is not subject to the entropy of much of the remaining decaying part of the scaffolding that builds the indestructible, or the unperturbable, the actual beautiful gems of glistening. That's why an ascendant being, one of an ascendant destiny or ascending, is many times given a relationship that they're wearing gems or crowns of gold or beautiful garments of indestructible and incorruptible material. And that is something that takes some time to accomplish. And I feel so sad about it. I think that there's actually materials that is in our hands that can cause a person not want to complete their life mission, and in swinging about this harmonious relationship with divinity. And one of the things, though, that Robin Williams had was a real association with an understanding of God, but that it's almost like somehow he lost contact, and it just didn't want to go on anymore. And Curtis, you had a friend and associate that wasn't happy either, and he ended up
Yeah, the same way.
Same way, yeah.
Same way, those drugs that he's administered.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he told Marcy, he said, "I don't feel like myself." And he also told Marcy, "I feel like hurting someone." And that was not Jeff at all.
Mm-hmm. And I have a friend of mine who went back to the doctor. Doctor prescribed something for him. I'm not sure what it was for. And he was on the, you know, the actual whatever. But he went on to some, what do you call those that are not? They're kind of like a variant of the perfect one. But anyway, he didn't feel like himself. And he stopped himself and went back to the doctor and said, "I don't want this anymore. I'm not the same person." So
yeah, not the same person.
Yeah. So when people, you know, are you know, manipulated by these powerful materials, they disassociate a person from one of the disassociated could be is this internal vibration that we have. You know, one of the things that I found out was our magnetic resonance with the planet itself. You know, Gaia, she has a heartbeat, she has a resonance, and that resonance vibrates at about 8.34 cycles per second, you know. And that, if it's beginning to become weak right now because of the effect of the magnetic reversal that is about to happen. The magnetic field is sort of collapsing and becoming weaker. So I've played some of this material just to see how it affects me or my family who listen to it. And it's interesting because you would think a noise or a sound would make somebody irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Actually, it makes them feel better, you know. And I was wondering what it could be that causes that. But it's just maybe just being disassociated. It's not as strong a magnetic field. And it was something predicted, by Christ himself before he comes back, by Jesus Christ, and saying that there will be wars, rumors, earthquakes in different places, and signs and sun, moon, and stars. All of this has a lot to do with the actual structure that makes up our universe. And one of the most powerful energies in the universe is electromagnetic. And that is weakening. Our field about the planet is weakening. So the Schumann resonance is actual, our term, our planetary term for the relationship of what it is. The Schumann resonance is the actual sound that we can actually download and play for ourselves. And it helps to continually give us the stability. And many times helps us get back to a feeling of well-being. So, anyway, that's...
Feeling of well-being because of the electromagnetic? Magnetic?
Yeah, the Schumann resonance is a magnetic... a way our magnetic field vibrates between our again, maybe it's, well, actually, tropospheric as well as ionospheric, is a between our ionosphere, which is a conductor at certain times, depends on the ionization level. That's why it's called the ionosphere, which is free electrons. They are creating this electromagnetic shield or a mirror, you might say, that has another counterpart, which is our ocean, our surface of the planet, and sometimes a lot deeper than that. So we can't just say that it's the surface of the Earth. It could be beneath the surface. We just got through talking about, you know, the differences that, like, planetary material coming out of a volcano is a little different sometimes. Also, and it's attunement. But anyway, the vibration that it's created in it is stuck in, you know, the magnetic field, like when it's molten and lava is molten and it stops, they'll leave the alignment in a particular direction so they know where north and south was at a time. That's how they know that there's been so many pole shifts going on, because they've done these measurements on old material like lava, like they'll be able to dig up and find in the position and see the alignment. But when it came down to the effects, it wasn't, people weren't sure there'd be any effects, but Christ pointed out, as this field weakens, people getting along with people change their terms, their vibration, their, it's going to cause certain interactions with themselves, losing touch with love, you might say, the divinity fragment. If you could give it another name, you could give it the term of the source of love, the source of true love. If you lose that source of true love, many times you can lose the source that keeps you going in life. You know, to the very last moment, many times a person will even draw upon that energy to, you know, where do you find these heroes, firemen that go into the blazing fire to pull out the little baby they hear crying in the middle of the fire? Well, this is a real reaction to the divinity fragment. And its impulse is energy of love that drives a person past self-preservation. Now, this type of suicide is very different from one in which you disconnect with the source of love, the divinity fragment, the de facto from God, the thought adjuster, a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. Many names are given to him. And you lose contact with him, you don't want to live anymore. This is a sad, sad reality of some of the things that are happening. But what brings a person back, in terms of sometimes losing contact, bringing them back into stability, is sometimes you go ahead and you go and align yourself to the Schumann resonance. And you can listen to it. And it's, although it's upscale, so you can hear a tone, underneath that tone is a much lower vibration that we can listen to or feel. And our listening range is from about 3 to, some of us can hear pretty high, you know, 3 to 30. 20,000 cycles per second is way up. Some people can hear that. Dogs can hear above that, way above. That's why you can blow that dog whistle and you don't hear anything, but the dog does. It knows exactly where it comes from, because the short waves are very directional, where the low, slow, long waves are, they seem to come from everywhere. And on the Schumann side, the Schumann resonance is way down on the low end, barely audible, sometimes, depending on a person, sometimes very audible, but sometimes something that you can feel. And you need to people need to get involved back with that sometimes. Just take a listen to it. There's a lot on the net. Get it downloaded on YouTube, just Schumann Resonant Frequency. There's a bunch on there. So anyway, that's a little bit of the secret of the universe. I know you're talking about that, Chris, about the secret of the universe in terms of vibrations and specific vibration, but there's even more to it than what you've uncovered there.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from the celestials themselves in my experience with them. So it's sort of like our understanding is partial.
Mm-hmm.
We know in part, and then we kind of like teach in part, talk about it in part. Partial knowing, and then they open up a whole bigger ballpark. I remember that, especially when they corrected me. Why on a V-wing craft? We just talked about the V-wing craft on the moon.
Oh yeah,
made out of extremely hard material, stuff that we don't even harder than diamond was actually the term. Now, what is harder than diamond? We don't even know.
We don't know.
But they can do the measurements, and I forgot exactly. Method they used to measure hardness, but it had to do again with vibration, the resonant reflection of that, and it could tell the density and strength of that material. But that V-wing craft was also the one that flipped me around, because I said, "What do you need wings out here? Space is empty, got no air." And I said, space is not empty. Oh boy, did I get corrected on that. Then I got exposed to a whole understanding of dynamics and physics, of the reality of not only wave propagation, or invisible wave propagation, we all understand, use radio wave, visible light, and then the linking of dynamic energies, of the dynamic and most powerful energies, in terms of electromagnetic energies. And I'm referring everyone back down to gain resonance back with our planet, oh Mother Earth, Gaia's own heartbeat. And if you feel uncomfortable, don't go taking that suicide drugs, that you feel depressed. Get back onto the resonance, because a lot of times the divinity fragment uses that resonance, because our hypothalamus is regulated by vibration, our pituitary gland, our pineal gland especially. And if our pineal gland is able to regulate not only sleep cycles, waking and sleeping, but a lot more about our well-being, even our understanding that comes from the divinity fragment itself, as well as being able to receive and even project telepathically, great amount of information, tremendous amounts of information into a very small, very, very tiny space within ourselves. I remember Nella telling me, when they say, "Mom," telling me that we've changed something in you, you won't be the same. And so what did you change? It's deep inside of your brain, somewhere you cannot get to, but we could. And it's been adjusted. In other words, what they did was they did do a type of nano or particle relation. In other words, the material that they have there, the Shaduns themselves, are real and physical. But they took that same real and physical material and associated with me, my own real and physical, held in the pineal gland. So now that same material is in both of us. As a result, we have this sympathetic, spooky action at a distance, you might call it, what Einstein called it. And then as a result, it functioned sympathetically. I'm trying to remember what exactly would be the correct term, but I did discuss this a while back. But it has a lot to do with the function of our residence to other beings outside of who function on the same, you might say, frequency. But it required, for me, and for that long distance communication, mind sharing, and etc., required a little bit more association. Many of the prophets of old talk about being taken to heaven, and this is what the whole idea was about, was the association in which they would receive this. And it can be shared if a person gets a physical touch from another person, and that person many times can associate that same particle association. Anyway.
So tell me more about what Nella said when she said she's changed something inside of your brain.
We changed.
We
changed, yes.
Oh, they, Nella being we, you know.
Yeah, in other words, her crew. Not her.
Not her.
Yeah. So what it was in the operation, they said, we brought you here, and we need to do a procedure on you. And I said, is it going to hurt? Are you going to hurt me? And I said, no, we won't hurt you. But we need to do it here. And it will be painless. It won't harm you. Don't be afraid. And I said, okay. You know, I was, you know, actually within the domain of the New Jerusalem, which is filled with love. These beings are able to project the essence of the thought of justice, the divinity fragment. It was everywhere. You just feel okay. You trust them implicitly. You don't, you know. I just ask straight on questions. It's going to hurt me. It's going to, you know, I'm going to, you know. And basically, I said, okay, I'll go. And that's where I saw another person older than me. She was a little bit older than me, but yeah, relatively young. But now we're old. I'm 62 this year. So anyway, it's where I was taken to a room and put on a type of reclining chair. And I was looking above at other things, and I was wondering, this place is kind of boring. There's not much in here. Anyway, and then they said, okay, we're finished. And I didn't even feel a thing. And this is, oh, what did you do? This is, oh, well, we, you know, we went deep inside of you, and we did something. What is it? It's, you know, basically, it was too much for what I knew to be able to relate to at the time. But now I do understand what they did. And that was to entangle, quantum entanglement. So they needed to entangle their own dimension, place, time with me. You know, and once entangled, we're related, and it's almost like it's space, time doesn't matter. It just goes along, functions in within a highly unique plane. Not even a plane. You know, it's hard to give it a thing except sort of like a rope that contact with, but not really. You know, but it's a connection. Yeah, so quantum entanglement was the actual procedure that was done for the purpose of obtaining the resonance within me. And that's the purpose I gave. Person ahead of me was a woman, and just totally zoned out. She was like catatonic. And then I got a little angry, and I said, you said you wouldn't hurt us. And she fought. We had to do that because she suddenly panicked, and we had to put her in that state. Later, Nancy Leader told me that, yeah, they know exactly how to turn you off so you don't hurt yourself. So she was in that state. But she was given a title, the communicator. And now she goes by that, she's been going by that title for a long time, the communicator, Nancy Leader. She has that program, Zeta Talk. And her primary thing is about Nibiru, Planet X, Pole Shift, and all of this stuff. But I was given the title Navigator. And as Navigator, it wasn't so much about the physical planetary translation. It was more about the individual person's purpose in life. So navigating into the higher dimensional plane in which all of humanity and all of life was created for the actual propagation beyond the universe of universes. One of the things that Christ did say, Jesus Christ did say, at the end of this age, when light and life might say, the old universe, the old heaven will be done away and a whole new heaven will be brought about. And this is the whole new heaven, a much higher one, in which a lot of the suffering that goes along with being mortal and being within an area which is bound under entropy and decay will no longer be functional. But we needed to progress from basically stardust, or you might say dirt, whichever one is you prefer. Stardust sounds so nice, but dirt is the same substance. But from there, we get to becoming actually beings of eternal life and eternal light if we progress according to the desired purpose. And that, a lot of times, is to align to the divinity fragment. And sometimes there are things that are something disassociates us and confuses us from that, and then we gain this terrible, terrible, terrible disconnect from God. And that causes people to commit suicide. Because it's like, I understand exactly. There is no God. I don't want to live. If I don't feel that embrace from divinity anymore, I don't want to live. I know how that felt. Because I was calling out in the back of my yard. And then I received the answer, and I was chosen as someone that would become a messenger of it to help individuals navigate toward the truth and the divinity and the destiny, their personal destiny, much higher than these other lower beings. Sometimes we think of them as higher beings, but they're actually lower because they have no destiny higher than where they are right now. Which, I was talking about the midwares, but there are others. And these are the fallen ones that chose not the same destiny, but one in which they would stay locked into their position. And we understand that. You see people who are, you know, people who are in power, they want to retain power. But never to elevate, just to retain power. So it's very different from our destiny, who are aligned to this celestial program of ascension. And that ascending program gives us real purpose in life. Not to leave things the same and to always, you know, move ahead. And our technology has moved ahead. Society has moved ahead. Our way of doing things are moving ahead. But our governance is an extreme battle right now to let it go beyond some people look at it as if you don't have governance by these ways, and laws, and traditions, and religions, you'll have chaos. But the truth is, you will have no chaos if the aligned individuals of the planet understand this mystery of the universe, that it's built in. It just people need to contact with that divinity fragment, and they'll have no problem with understanding the purpose of life.
Wow, that's amazing, Michael.
Yeah.
All started with the midway creatures.
Yeah, the bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to send those stones back. Well, you know, they come from a different zone. Yeah. And I think subsurface-wise, they're not quite the same oscillation, you know, with the surface, because we are actually beings of life, but resonating according to the resonance of our planet. So every once in a while, you know, I kind of tune into the Schumann resonance or find a program. I actually have it on my phone. I wonder if I... Do I have it on my phone? As a app? Let's see. Pick my phone and see if I have... Schumann resonance. Yeah, I do. You want to hear what my phone has?
Yes.
Okay, that's the Schumann resonance as applied, so we can hear it audibly. That's on my smartphone. It's an app. It has many different frequencies you can listen to. For meditation or whatever. But this is the Schumann resonance. How does that sound like?
I can definitely hear it. Can hear it vibrating.
Yeah. Well, let me stop this. Okay, stop. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, stop. Let's see if I got anything else. The phone vibrated for some reason. Well, anyway, let me go and look at something that was also developed for resonating thought and spiritual energy. And this is called a meditation bowl. I got this in Thailand. Let's see if I can make it work. You lost it?
Well, Mike. GarageBand didn't like that, so it was playing, and then it would cut itself off. It thought it was feedback, so it cut itself off, and I just clicked it back on.
Yeah, did you hear it?
Yes, yeah. We all got to hear that vibration before it thought it was feedback.
Well, you can make this thing go on forever. You got a little sticky you rub on, rub it around in a circle. Around it, and it creates that nice tone that has a sub, you know, various harmonics higher and subharmonics lower.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So anyway, that's all something that people need in this weakening magnetic field. Every once in a while, go and buzz into that. Not only go down to the ocean and get a some negative ions or someplace in waterfalls and things like that. But you can also hook up with that. All of this has to continually be able to be sensitive to the source of love in you, which is the divinity fragment, the divinity fractal, the thought adjuster. Mm-hmm. Without that, life is not worth living. This is all something I received from the Dano. You wanted to know about God. And then he drew me seven circles. And we know about the seven circles. I taught on the seven psychic circles. And it's not something that you progress through exactly like everybody else or like me. But nevertheless, in your progress in these seven psychic circles, you receive more and more resonance, much like how I just did in terms of the meditation bowl.
Oh, that was a bowl that you were spinning?
Yeah, it looks just like a bowl made out of bronze.
Oh, bronze?
Yeah. Mm. And it's got a stick that you kind of rub on the outside and you just continue the vibration going and going. Mm-hmm. They have big ones too, you know. Big ones are nice. They have a lower vibration.
Marcy has a D bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Made out of crystal.
Oh, I see. Does it, are you able to make it vibrate?
Yes, and she wanted that bowl because it made all her thoughts go away. Just cleared up her brain. Nothing was there except that D vibration.
Hmm. Oh, okay. It's in the key.
The key of D.
Key of D, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this has been another amazing, interesting hour. Very interesting how this started with the beings of light in the midwayer. So the divinity fractal, and that was interesting what you said, that they changed something inside of your brain. And you said that was physical material that they changed, or?
Well, they entangled.
Entangled.
Quantum entangled. See, in our pineal gland, there's material in there. It's sort of like iron,
mm-hmm.
But not really. But it's actual material. But then what happens, I believe, is that in the times when I receive a vision, mm-hmm. you know, like you're playing a vision, you know, and it's always a vision. I don't have audio with it. I just get visual, extremely clear. So it's like they project into this domain within the pineal gland, which has basically like a retina, able to receive light way down. You think, well, some people, they perceive that light as only being for the purpose of understanding day and night, but it has a higher purpose also. Once hooked up, able to receive the stimulation of an entangled material that will vibrate at light frequency, yeah, and receive vision, receive communication.
Receive communication?
Yeah.
With who?
With those I'm entangled with.
Uh-huh.
The Shaharuns. Yeah, or the people over there in New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Well, next week you said you're going to be on Oahu working on your boat.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it out of the water. It's been in there much too long, and do some work on it. Hopefully I'll be able to get back another week, but it might be 2 weeks. I might not be able to connect up again.
All right.
Depends on the scheduling of things.
Depends on your scheduling?
Yeah, our schedule of work that's going to be done. It falls on Tuesday, and I'll be over there.
All right. You.
Yeah.
So you do you have Wi-Fi there? Can you stop and
make sure? Well, maybe. We'll find out.
All right. We'll wait and see.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe we can connect for next week. If not, we'll know you're scraping barnacles on Tuesday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'd love to come over there and help you.
All right.
All right, Michael.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.